time for you to get your outlines out as we begin our Bible study tonight. You know, this past week, of course, we celebrated the freedom of our country from the rule of England, and rightfully, we gave thanks for our incredible country. History books tell us that the lack of freedom in the original 13 colonies that led to this whole thing, it was quite tangible. What had happened was, you know, the cause of the situation was that England's financial resources had been gravely depleted by a six-year war it had conducted with France. Now, a big part of the reason for that war was ownership and a stake in the United States, the Americas, as they were called back then. So when England finally won the war, they felt, well, the 13 colonies that they had just rescued from France should appreciatively help restore the exhausted resources of their kind guardian angel motherland, the UK. Unfortunately, when the colonists' right to keep what they earned was impinged upon, the colonies began murmuring and an ever-loudening chant for freedom. For the colonies, they knew what the problem was. They knew where the problem was coming from, and they knew how to eradicate the problem. The rest, my friends, is history. And so we celebrate it every year. Webster defines freedom as the exemption of external control, the exemption of interference, impingement, the exemption of regulation or restraint. Those colonists in 1776 easily diagnosed the source of their impingements and the external controls. But as has been the case for thousands of years, those natural interferences and physical restraints of freedom, they're really a secondary oppression compared to the spiritual and mental captivity that really is the nucleus of all that truly inhibits us. It is this inner bondage of the heart, soul, mind, and spirit that truly robs one of freedom. And it is an interference that is so cunning that it is often imperceptible to us. It is a control that oppresses one emotionally, and it is a restraint so powerful that it robs the most positive person of hope. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has fought for and won our independence from that. Jesus has secured our freedom and set those who wish to be free, free indeed. Early in Jesus' ministry, Jesus walked into the temple in Jerusalem. He took out a scroll. He opened it up. He stood up in front of all of the people there, and he proclaimed this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Wow. Talk about declaring your independence. Now, what has confused people since Jesus made this declaration of independence is misidentifying what the actual oppressor is and what Jesus was setting people free from. You see, being liberated from taxation was not Jesus' rescue. Being set free from all toil, all struggle, all trials, that was not Jesus' offer. Relieving us of all responsibility in relationships and life obligations, well, that was not Jesus' mission. Westbridge, our greatest freedom robber, Our greatest freedom robber is not being connected or having a poor connection to God. You see, without this vital, guiding, empowering connection, we will default to a different connection. And that default connection is being connected and ruled by anything other than what God wants. And worse yet, in this poor signal default connection, we see unclearly, we understand wrongly, and we live, but we fail to function properly. And we find that though we have the right to choose for ourselves, we somehow don't feel like we're experiencing freedom. Well, friends, Jesus has come and he has set us free. He has set us free from the oppressive default connection of thinking, doing, and living anything other than what God wanted. Jesus has procured a freedom for us that allows us to see clearly, to live with buoyant hearts, and to step into each day confidently, and to step into each day victoriously. Jesus said his Declaration of Independence includes proclaiming liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Let's list this as Christ's rescue from the scam of sin. You see, gang, before we connected with Jesus, we lived duped. That's right. We were blindly bamboozled. And it is a scam of epic proportions. It's a scam that tickles our fancy at its deepest level, because the scam says, you need nothing. You know how to take care of yourself. You know everything that you need, and you know what works, and you know what doesn't work, and you know what's best. It's a scam that puts us in charge and makes us think we are masters and commanders of our own fate. We chart our course and we determine our adventures. We choose our loves and we choose the rules for living. And in this default scam setting that we are born into, we think that success is found in achievement. We believe that if we can get or receive love from some other person, then that will fill the void that's in my heart. We think fulfillment can be bought. We believe that serenity can be found on a Caribbean island. We think we are self-sufficient and can take on the world, and we think there are no price tags, no costs attached to any of these decisions we make to gain our dreams. And gang, that is a big scam. A scam that Jesus has opened our eyes to. He has sent me to recover the sight of the blind, Jesus said. Because of Jesus' revolutionary victory, we are no longer blind to the freedom-robbing lie of the default mindset. God recorded for us in Proverbs 12, verse 15, the lifestyle of the fool is right in his own opinion, but wise is the man who listens to advice. You see, when Christ enters one's heart, the eyes of the soul are opened for the first time. And we see that success is not found in achievement. It is found in doing the good works God uniquely designed for each of us to do. We find that the void in our hearts was really a God-shaped hole, and it needed to be filled by God's Holy Spirit. We learn that fulfillment can't be bought. It must be bestowed by the Father in heaven. And we discover that serenity and peace isn't found on a beach. It's found in the heart that has been cleansed and connected and is reliant on God. Jesus says, sin scam, that's over. The blind can now see. The curtain has been pulled back for anyone who wishes to know the truth. The way that seemed right to a man did indeed lead to death. So Jesus started a revolutionary war. Jesus says, happy Independence Day, people. Light off your fireworks, especially in New Jersey, where they are now legal. Light them off because I have set you free from the blinding, lying scam of sin. Gang, we must see it for what it is. There is a God. You and I are not him. He wants to care for us and give us life to its fullest. And we do not have all that we need. We are not self-sufficient. We do not have all we need if we don't have him. Scam busted. The second liberation Christ has won for us is an emancipation from shame. That default connection that we lived under, the one that said, say whatever you want. Do whatever feels good to you. And listen to no one except your own heart. Now that sounds great, right? Unfortunately, it leads to bad things. A Kellogg School of Management study revealed this. 90% of Americans live with major life choice regrets. 44% of the women surveyed said that they regret romantic decisions they have made. In fact, regret was the second most frequently mentioned emotion after love. The regrets that they recorded ran from regrets in parenting to regrets of education, regrets in finances to regrets in relationships. Regrets from priorities that were missed to practices they wish they hadn't done. All these areas, by the way, all these areas are areas that God gives us divine instruction on in his Bible. But the default connection we have of doing anything other than what God wants includes this horrible bonus feature of lifelong regret. And that, friend, is what Jesus Christ has won our freedom from. Now, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 8:12, God continues, I will forgive their wickedness. I will never again remember their sins. Jesus reiterates, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Isaiah 43 instructs us, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Okay, Psalm 103 tells us, shame has no foothold in the life of a God follower. It says, God does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve, for his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as from the east as from the west. And the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. No regret, no shame. This past month, my son has been down in Fort Knox, Kentucky, and he is doing army training, sir. He is in advanced camp. It is a grueling month of field missions and assault strikes conducted by these young men who hope to be Army officers. Now, for these 3 full weeks in the woods, there's no base. There's no tents. You will just live on the ground, and you will carry out missions 24 hours a day. And you will do it through the rain and through the heat for 3 weeks straight without stopping. And each cadet's goal is to be absolutely perfect and avoid the ire of the training cadre who can mark you off and have incredible power. Well, I talked to cadets who had just finished, and I talked to them yesterday, just got out of the woods after 3 weeks. He said the norm was sleeping in puddles, waking up to snakes crawling on you and spiders, not having dry clothes for days on end. One night, woke up middle of a rainstorm, been raining for hours, soaked right through everything you've got, woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning after only 1 hour of sleep and told we have to move 8 miles through the rain, soaking wet. And when you get there, you can take a knee and enjoy your wet clothes longer, because then we keep up going. They did this for 3 weeks, were pushed 70 miles on foot with 60 to 100 pounds on their pack, guns, ammo, supplies, everything. And that 60 to 100 pounds was weighed when it was dry. Mistakes, injuries, and mental exhaustion will cause many to not make it, which they did not. Well, my son made it to the end. But when he got there, well, I know, it ain't over. It ain't over. When he got there, he was quite scared. Because you see, in all the chaos of those 3 weeks of living in the dark and moving through the dark, he had lost one of his rifle clips, one of the magazines that they had given him. He couldn't find it. Now, he was scared. Because all that work, all that pain, all that sacrifice, and all that cadre had to do was to check him off as losing that clip, and you go right back to the start in a couple weeks, you start the month over again. He told me that he had a sinking, horrible feeling like never before because he had made this mistake, and it was overwhelming and paralyzing. But the day came to turn in your gear to the supply sergeant. The supply sergeant was someone who had watched them the whole time they had been in the woods. The whole time. And my son went to hand in his equipment. He gave the man everything he had, and then he told him, "I've lost a magazine clip." With that statement, the sergeant looked up from his clipboard, looked Cody right in the eye, and he said, "That's going to cost you." Cody swallowed hard as the sergeant ran through the possible punishments in his head: recycle, letter of reprimand, maybe even fail advance camp. And the sergeant spoke, looked at Cody again, and he said, "Kleinbell, the Army wants you to pay. You will pay $1. No repercussions. Give me the dollar. Good job." Cody said he whipped that dollar out of his pocket faster than he's ever spent my money, which I don't believe. And he said he skipped out of there like a man who had just been set free from a death sentence. Clean slate. No issues. No worries, no sins, no regrets. Gang, no matter what you have dropped in your life's journey, no matter how bad your mistake, Christ does not want you to live in the shame of what you did. In fact, you don't even have to pay the dollar. Christ had it out before it even was mentioned, and he paid it for you at the cross. Christ has won our independence, and he wants to use the past as a place of reference, not a place of residence. Shame has no restraint, no control, no influence in the life of a Christ follower. So no matter what you have said that you really regret, it's Independence Day if you are set free by Jesus Christ. No matter what you did or what you neglected to do that you regret to this day, it's Independence Day. If you are in Christ, you are free. This shame, this imprisons people bigger than we think. I didn't realize it until just a short time ago. I had a very, very, very close relative that I grew up with. We were the best of friends, always together, loved each other to death. And then somehow when we got to around 22, 23, the relationship ended. I don't know why. It just stopped. I tried to rekindle it, nothing would happen. And my loved one was gone. We never connected. And I always wondered, what happened? What did I do? What was it all this time? 25 years later, we connected again. He was a different person. Visited me at the firehouse. We sat on the side of number 3 firehouse on a bench, and he told me about his life, which didn't go well. He hadn't lived the way he had wished he had lived. And he had a lot of regret. And I asked him, I says, what is it? You got to tell me. I've been waiting 25 years to ask you this. What did I do that kept you from being with me, from connecting with me? What was it? He said, it wasn't you. I was just ashamed. Shame robbed us of 25 years of loving relationship? Yep. I know people this day who have been with us over the 16 years, served Jesus Christ, have been right alongside of us, close people, and they drift. They drift. And you wonder, why don't they come back? We'll welcome them with open arms. It's shame. It's regret. This is a powerful thing. And that's why Jesus came and declared there's independence from it. There is no more shame for those who are in Christ Jesus. The scam of sin is over, and the shame of sin is gone. And finally, the third thing Jesus declares our independence from is the stranglehold of sin. To round out the glorious freedom Christ won for us, God tells us that we are not just wiped clean from our past. We are given a new life. We now are given a new default mindset that is in tune with God's Spirit. It's like a reboot on our heart's computers, only we are taken back to when things were new and fresh and had nothing but possibility in front of it. It's an opportunity to start life again from the beginning, a new birth and a new chance to learn. But this time, we have the ability to identify what God warns us about, and we have the power to resist it. When sin was allowed to throw its greatest punch and have its way in crucifying Jesus Christ, Jesus took the punch and got right back up. Sin could not destroy Jesus no matter how great a blow it threw at him. You see, Christ's power beat every temptation that sin could throw at him. Christ's power enabled him to live without succumbing to the sins of his family tree, which were many. Christ's power resurrected him from his earthly restricted life to a new, no-holds-barred, supernatural life. And gang, that is the resurrection power that Jesus gives each one of us who confess their sins to him and trust in him. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And that, gang, will enable us to do what we have always wanted to do. Be free from the power of sin. Romans 6:14, sin is no longer your master. You see, in Jesus' declaration of independence, he proclaimed, he was sent to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. Gang, the stranglehold of your past practices, the stranglehold of oppressive habits in your family tree, and the weakness we felt when trying to resist our default-setting ways has been buried, and a resurrection power has taken its place. Power to bury our weak earthly life and live mightily to a non-restricted, no-holds-barred, supernatural-powered life. And it doesn't matter if the stranglehold of your sin is a new one or if it's a stranglehold has been in your family for generations. Jesus has overcome it all, and he gives that power to anyone who will join him in his revolution. The question is, do you want to go to a place called freedom? Do you want to see like the free see? Do you want to be free from the chains of shame? And do you want to break the stranglehold that has robbed you of life to the full? Jesus stood up in the middle of that temple and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." The question is, do you want to lay hold of that independence? As the band and the worship leaders and the prayer team comes back, I want to ask you to give that some thought. Have you been set free? Have you taken that chance of saying, "Lord, I get it. I get it. I get that there's an old default mindset that I've had. And now I want to be set free." Think about those things as we worship God one more time. Jesus wants us to proclaim what we have done. As Mr. Robert told you, at the end of August, we are going to have our baptism. This is a magical day. We have seen it 15 times before, where people have walked into a pool and they have told their story. They've read their story off a piece of paper saying how they have gone from a defaulted connection away from God to a connection of resurrected power. If that's something that God has shown you has happened in your life or you want to have happen, come and see me. We're going to start building our baptism list, and I would love nothing better than to spend that day with you in August telling the world what Jesus Christ has done in your life. So come and see me. We're going to spend the last 5 minutes talking with one another, enjoying each other's company. Just pray with me. Lord, thank you for declaring our independence. Thank you for a revolution that has changed lives for 2,000 years. And I pray that it would continue. And Lord, I pray that you would make those brave who have found you and want to tell others that there is a resurrection power waiting for all who want it. Lord, help us to always remember the scam of sin, the shame of sin, and the stranglehold of sin are gone. And we live to the power of Jesus Christ, and you have our back. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.